Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 580. Science Faction, oldest archaeology site in the Americas Day.
So it's like the archaeology site that yells at archaeologists and other younger archaeology sites for being on its lawn.
Yeah.
It's an archaeology site that goes to bed at 4 o'clock in the p.m.
This archaeology site has dinner at 4:30 at Boston Market before stealing batteries on their way home.
Has Tucker Carlson on in its hospice room.
Yeah, this archaeology site loves old Matlock episodes and Werther's original.
It complains about this generation, but really hasn't taken stock of the things that archaeology site did in its day.
And speaking of the things you did back in your day, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. That archaeology site is so old that it actually has separate water fountains. Grew up at a different time. Grew up in a different Americas.
That archaeology site is so old that one Patreon who stopped listening to us doesn't care if it dies of COVID.
I was really hoping that, like, he dropped into your DMs, like, hey, Science Faction, you up? I just was wondering. I was just curious about some science things. I was wondering if you could explain them to me. But, you know, without all the liberal BS.
Oh, my God. Guys, I do have an amazing episode. I'm so excited. Anybody who's been listening for a long enough time knows that nothing gets me more excited than the oldest archaeology site in the Americas. It's something we have gotten to report on now 3 separate times over the course of the 8 years of this show, because the oldest archaeology site in the Americas has been usurped over and over again. And I think this will be one of the most exciting ones. It's one of the most definitive ones we've ever covered. One of the most exciting ones we ever covered. We will get into it in the main show. You can already tell how excited I am. But before then, we have some Patreons we need to call out and thank for coming and supporting us when we needed support, by the way. When we were losing support because of my not promoting ivermectin and climate change denial policy that this show has taken a radical approach to. We read on air last week that we had lost a Patreon because of that, and I called out, and we had people jump to replace that guy, to basically tell us, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it the right way. He's the wrong one. And I wanted to say right off the bat, there's actually been more new Patreon signups since I wrote this episode, and so they won't be listed here. They'll be listed next week. We appreciate you very much. Thank you very much. We just, you know, we have a cutoff for when we write the episode, but it isn't even just these people. There are more coming along the way. So, Damian, if you will.
Yeah, I think calling that dude a cousin fucker, I think that was the magic moment. That was...
I didn't say he specifically was fucking cousins.
I'm saying his actions were those of a cousin fucker. That's...
It's like how if you eat red meat, you have some kind of responsibility for greenhouse gases being generated by the cows that create them. That was what I was getting at in terms of the grand cousin fucking scheme.
If somebody ever calls me a cousin fucker, I'll be like, yes, I do display the traits of a cousin fucker. I did discover the theory of relativity. So yes.
And I was, for some time, the king of Egypt.
Let my people go, Bobby.
That's the wrong person, but all right.
It's very true, very true. Bobby, you know, you put me in charge of getting big names to handle these shout-outs, and I'd like to say, yes, for the second week in a row, I've come through. Last week, we had Werner Herzog. This week, on the line, waiting to congratulate our 2 new Patreons, we have a kingpin of science, Mrs. Jane Goodall. Jane, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I can hear you. Yes. Oh, new Patreon's very exciting. You'll have to speak up. I'm at a nudist all-inclusive resort in the Caribbean, enjoying my golden years. Here, wearing nothing but a smile, knee-high socks, work boots, and, of course, my body weight in suntan lotion covering my pasty British skin.
Well, I will say this. You know, a nudist colony might be a good spot for Jane Goodall, because she spent, like, her whole youth, like 20s and 30s, literally just in the middle of the jungle with chimps. And so, like, theoretically, I mean, listen, I'm not going to claim to be a chimp expert, but I'm going to give it, like, at least an 80% certainty that most of those chimps weren't wearing clothes. And so, like, if she came about... in a place where everybody around her was naked all the time, it makes sense that she would just feel more comfortable in a place where everybody was naked.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. And the fact that I came here for a bonobo bachelorette party has made it even more. There's a lot of chimp genitalia around, making me feel more free. There's actually quite the attractive Sasquatch man across the way, giving me the eye. I know what I'll be doing tonight. But first, let me just congratulate some of our own new Patreon members.
Uh-huh. I like the first name, Jane, that I would like you to give a shout out to is the guy who really stepped up. I think it was like the very first day he jumped in there. Can you give it up for Captain Reach Around?
Yes, Captain Reach Around, yes. Of the Manchester Reach Arounds. I grew up with a very well-established family. Yes, Captain Reach Around, I could see why you received your field grade promotion in the area of Reach Arounds. I actually went looking up.
I thought he was an academy man. I didn't realize. He earned it the hard way.
No, he's a real man. He was a real soldier, as it were. It turns out I did a little backstory. And it turns out they gave the super soldier serum to two people, Mr. Steve Rogers and, of course, then at the time, Private Reach Around. Of course, Steven Rogers used his powers to fight for freedom, and Captain Reach Around used his powers to fight for sexual freedom and, of course, supporting the sciences. So, kudos to you.
They go hand in hand.
You are the true Avenger in my book.
And by the way, people might think Captain Reach Around is just like a vulgar name. I actually think it's a really nice name. I mean, nobody ever complained about a reach around. Nobody was like, oh, that bastard really giving it to me. And then he went for the reach around. Like, everybody's excited. The worst thing you could say about a reach around is, oh, thanks, but not now.
Reach around is the only way to conduct. That's how you tell a true gentleman top from a low level garbage top.
Let's start a club called Gentleman Tops.
Oh, I went to a bar last night at the resort called Gentleman Tops.
And our second Patreon of the week, Mr. Psycho. A little bit more of an aggressive name.
Yeah, so in the spelling is quite... nobody would have guessed Mr. Psycho from the spelling of this, which is why it lets me know that it's interesting that you mentioned Gentleman Tops, because the DJ spinning last night with his genitals, might I add, was one Mr. Psycho. I flated that. I gave that man a Captain Reach Around.
Even though he's not a chimp or Sasquatch in nature.
Yes, well, of course, I did it because he was spinning such fat tunes. And I, of course, did not have any cash for the tip. I did not use my prison pocket to carry singles for tips. That was a poor etiquette on Jane Goodall's behalf. So thank you, Mr. Psycho, for your fat, spinning DJ beats and, of course, your countless efforts to support the sciences and dick jokes on the internet wherever they appear. All right, well, I'm about to go seduce a tall, dark, and handsome Sasquatch at the other end of the bar. Toodaloo!
That was fantastic, Miss Goodall. I would like to say that if we do open Gentleman Tops, then, like, it should either have like a sister club or somehow be associated next door with one that we call Ne'er-Do-Well Bottoms. And like, maybe there's a door.
It's a lot of very shortcut jorts.
By the way, I think we should clarify now that Miss Goodall is gone. Yes, some people, longtime fans of ours, will know that Jane Goodall, while once a paragon of science, has slipped a little bit as she genuinely does believe in Sasquatch and has probably tried to seduce him.
Oh dear, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles. This is Science Articles.
I just know he's real. I feel him in my loins.
Get off that dryer, Jane. It's unevenly loaded. It could pose a fire hazard.
Also, this is the complex's washing machine, Jane. Being allowed to use the laundry room's a privilege, Miss Goodall.
Oh, dear. Article number one. The oldest archaeology site in the Americas, by a lot.
You could actually tell where the site was because it was covered in Werther's original wrappers.
Yeah, it smelled like lint and Bengay.
The archaeology site, you could tell it was an older archaeology site because there were a lot of racial slurs just kind of casually dropped around the site.
Yeah, that was there was a lot of hard R's at the end of some words there.
I know you don't listen to rap, so I know you're not quoting something.
Super excited. Those of you guys who know my background, I am a North American prehistoric archaeologist. I am obsessed with the occupation of the Americas. I think it's like the last Wild West rodeo of archaeology in terms of figuring out what happened in the human story and the human species. It's super, super interesting. There's a lot of fraud that surrounds it. There's a lot of really interesting stuff. It's especially interesting because it's two whole continents that, as far as we know, and the genetic evidence confirms this, were almost completely populated by the descendants of about 200 Beringians that made their way down into the Americas. Just that whole story, everything surrounding it, it is so cool, so interesting. It's been one of the most amazing things to live through, to see these discoveries made. And once again, one came out, and I can't express to you how excited I am. I talked earlier this year about an article that came out purporting to have a cave site in central Mexico at 25,000 or so years old, and I explained why I was skeptical of that, why the things might not necessarily be artifacts, why cave stratigraphies don't always work. This is the exact opposite. This is about as solid as you can ask for. Now, we need follow-up studies on it, but in terms of the evidence presented, this is pretty fucking solid. So let's go through and see why this is so exciting, what the discovery is.
Legend has it that cave was settled because somebody saw an eagle killing a snake inside of it. Nope, Mexico City joke, swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this particular site, one of the reasons it's so interesting is its human footprints. We've actually talked about this site before, but we talked about a portion of it that was much younger. It was closer to like 10 to 13,000 years old. And this is in White Sands National Park in New Mexico. We've actually talked about some of the footprints there before. Remember, we talked about the ones that got where like they were going around and a mammoth. They were like walking up near a mammoth and like a ground sloth came and went by their tracks and stuff. Like it showed interactions between prehistoric peoples and giant megafauna of North America. Really, really cool. Well, it turns out that they found 60 footprints of teenagers and children near what would have been a lakeshore. And those areas, the footprint areas, seem to be sandwiched between two layers of dirt that contain seeds, the bottom layer dating at 23,000 years old, the top layer dating at 21,000 years old, indicating that it's somewhere between that, which is fucking amazing, because not only would that be far and away the oldest confirmed archaeology site in the Americas, far and away, I mean, it really blows the other ones out of the water. Not only would that be the case, but based on the genetic evidence, we would be getting back to kind of the branching off point of Native American groups, meaning we might be looking at some of the earliest groups. I mean, we can still find earlier sites than this, but we're not going to find sites that are 15,000 years earlier than this. Like, that just wouldn't work. We know that the peoples who became Native Americans separated off from people in Asia after that point. And so, you know, we're really getting to what might be the oldest sites in the Americas. So goddamn interesting. These people are so mysterious. And so the fucking Beringians that came in and occupied two whole continents, and out of 200 people who are now a lost people, all the other Beringians, as far as we know, died out. Those 200 allowed their genetics to live on in millions and millions of people across two continents. Super, super interesting. So, really big deal, because this would set back the oldest date. Let's talk about what were the oldest dates before. Growing up, when I was in undergrad, the oldest dates were usually Monte Verde down in Chile, which is surprising to most people that it'd be in South America. The occupation we now know isn't that surprising. We think that there was a lot of coast hopping with boats coming down. So isn't that suspicious that it would be that far south. That was at like 14 or so, 13 to 14. And then we had the Paisley Caves in Oregon, which we covered here. Those are coprolites, human feces, fossilized human feces. That's at 14.8. And then we covered, 3 years ago now, we had another oldest site in the Americas day where we talked about the Buttermilk Creek site, which is near Austin, Texas. And that has solid dates at like 16,800 years BP, but possibly as far as 18 to 20. That stuff's a little bit more contentious. But those were the oldest dated securely known archaeology sites. There were other things. There's Topper. There's
Gentleman Tops, which was the oldest all-nude, all-inclusive resort archaeological site in the Caribbean. Still spinning beats.
there's other parts of Monteverde and Tres Ventanas and other things in South America that look like they might be older, but we can't tell for sure that they're archaeology sites. There's the one we talked about in the central cave in the high altitude cave in central Mexico that might have stuff at 25, but it's out of situ and it isn't definitive at all. A lot of these are things are like people going, well, this might be something, but this is something. These are fucking footprints. You can't fake these. And if those C14 dates hold up and we're sure that the dating style and stuff is consistent with what we see, then we have literally set back the timeline in terms of the oldest site by a lot, because the oldest confirmed stuff at Buttermilk Creek, the Galt site, that's the one near Austin, that's at like 16.5 is the oldest confirmed stuff. So if we're jumping 16.5 to 22,000, that is huge. That's 5,000 years in a day in terms of we've set the record back 5,000 years in one day's publication. And it's, you know, worth noting that to get from where we were at, like when we thought Clovis first at 11,000 or something like that, to get from like 11 or 12,000 to 16,000 took us decades, many decades of subsequent finds, you know, a couple thousand years. This jumps a big jump. This is really, really cool. It is absolutely groundbreaking. To me, I've read the primary article. It is convincing. I think this is a legitimate site. I think the dating is legitimate. I think this is a gigantic deal, the biggest deal in North American archaeology in decades, certainly in my entire career, which is not 15 years. And this kind of puts into perspective the ones that aren't real archaeology sites. We've talked a lot on this show about the Cerruti Mastodon site. That's not a real archaeology site, but it's purported to be one at 130,000 years old in San Diego.
There's
the Calico Early Man site in Eastern California, and that is purported to be 200,000 years old. The Leakeys were involved in that. There's a lot of fake old sites, but this is a real one, and this shows us what a real one looks like. If Cerruti was real, we would have actual evidence, things like flake stone lithics, footprints, bones, something like that, but it's not, and so we don't. So this is really, really interesting. Now, it should be noted that the way they dated this, again, they found seeds within the soil matrix above and below the footprints, and they then used C14 dating on those seeds. I looked at that. All of that stuff looks good. They had big enough samples for the carbon. They were able to isolate the strata very efficiently to make sure they weren't getting cross-contamination. They did enough tests of C14 with enough material and small enough variables that they do have a solid date on all that. All that stuff is great. There is still a slight possibility, and this is a, you know, far out there possibility, but it's something we have to explore, that possibly the seeds themselves, especially the ones in the upper layer, got redistributed from lower levels and therefore don't actually represent that upper layer. And maybe, you know, these things are 15,000 years old, but these seeds are throwing us off. That is a possibility. We will be able to tell that fairly certainly with optical luminescence dating, which we'll be able to tell the last time certain grains of quartz are exposed to sunlight, and we'll be able to tell eventually. That part of the mystery there'll be a nail in the coffin that'll get solved. But for now, insanely interesting. The biggest North American archaeology news in my entire career. Super, super cool. Though I will say this, I was so excited to read this article. I was so excited to read everything I could about it, excited to report on it. The one thing that I knew was going to be a problem, I knew it before I read a single article, and it absolutely was I still had to deal with the now 20 some odd year old out of date trope of the article writer saying, this finally puts to bed the disputed Clovis first theory. And it's like, nobody has thought Clovis first was real since the early 90s, you motherfuckers. It's as if like Tesla releases a new model of vehicle and they go like, well, finally, the first electric car to hit market. And you're like, no, we've had these all around for a decade now. What are you talking about? The first one ever. And you're like, stop saying that.
Me and my wife got Clovis first tattoos this weekend, Bobby. I really wish we would have said something. I guess these tattoos, like our marriage, is done for.
Clovis first sounds like super, super redneck ideology from Clovis, New Mexico.
I'm tired of you taking care of these other civilizations. Make Clovis great again.
Very, very cool stuff. I am super jazzed on all of this. I'm not going to reveal who yet, but I'm actually speaking to a certain people who are involved in the primary research in this to try and get some inside info on it. I will report to that as it is released to me. I am so excited. I will continue to report on this discovery and tell you guys when we do get updates. I think we are nearing the entry point into the Americas. Based on a whole bunch of evidence, archaeological evidence, genetic evidence, I have kind of assumed that human beings entered into the Americas, those Beringians entered into the Americas around 25,000 years ago. So if we're hitting 22, we're hitting pretty close. I mean, we might be near the founding population of North and South America, which fucking gives me goosebumps just to talk about.
Hearing Bobby getting jazzed on archaeology, I just picture him with some glasses on, kind of moving back and forth to a rhythm only he can hear in his head. It's about the holes you don't dig, daddy-o.
Yes, you've got me nailed. Really cool stuff. We just rewrote the textbook on North American prehistory.
And we can finally put to bed that Clovis, that whole Clovis
thing. God damn it.
And I'm glad. Finally, Lauren and I's tattoos make sense.
Make Clovis great. Article number two, COVID brain.
COVID brain. Is that a side effect of eating too much horse paste? We know it makes you quit being a Patreon. It makes you quit supporting science podcasts. But what else does COVID brain do?
That's true.
Truth be told, you know, COVID brain, that sounds bad, but a lot better than COVID dick, which I'm picturing a penis. It looks like it has spider veins.
I have heard brain as a euphemism for receiving oral sex. And so technically, COVID brain might be a euphemism for receiving oral sex while you have COVID.
COVID brain. So you're saying, and I say this, perhaps, Bobby, you're closer to what the kids are using nowadays.
I am. Yeah, I am.
You're saying that, like, if I wanted to, if I were on a, if I were Netflix and chilling with somebody in their early 20s, and I too was in my early 20s, I could at some point get quote unquote brain, and that would be fellatio?
Yes.
That is the worst. Worst euphemism for head, or it was like, listen, baby, I what I really want is your brain, because that's the sexiest part of you, but I want it to suck my dick. So.
First of all, there's nothing wrong with that.
I love a smart girl, which is why I want her brain balls deep in me.
Second of all, Damien, I think I'm gonna just reveal to you how much cooler I am than you at this point, which is, this is not a hip thing the kids would say. This is something that was said when we were their age.
Wow. We both know I wasn't getting head when I was your son's age. Grade school girls were such prudes. Ugh.
So this is a really interesting article in Scientific American that I think is super important for everybody here. It's why I put it on the main feed, because I want you to share this with your relatives and friends and people who are a little like, COVID's not a big deal. Please, I want you to share and discuss this story. So you can find this article in Scientific American this week, and it looks at the brain problems of COVID patients. And the scary thing is, even mild COVID patients. So this is a big UK study that looked at people who had brain scans dating back to 2014. So basically, they could compare before and after. They had a bunch of people who had had brain scans for certain reasons. They could now look at before they caught COVID and after. And some of these people caught COVID and some of them didn't.
After COVID, a lot of their patients were supporting Brexit full throttle, whereas they were against it before.
They looked at people who caught COVID. Then they gave a second brain scan to everybody. I'm going to quote you now from Scientific American. The team found marked differences in gray matter, which is made up of the cell bodies of neurons that process information in the brain, between those who had been infected with COVID-19 and those who had not. Specifically, the thickness of the gray matter tissue in brain groups known as the frontal and temporal lobes was reduced in the COVID-19 group, differing from the typical pattern seen in the group that hadn't experienced COVID-19. Unquote. So I just want to give a quick disclaimer, so to speak. This type of change in gray matter does happen over a person's lifetime. We see a decrease in gray matter, you know, from the 20s or 30s on. However, what they're saying is they compared people of similar ages, sexes, socioeconomic statuses, everything, and the only difference being COVID or not COVID, and they showed that the COVID groups had a much bigger deterioration in this gray matter. Now, what was super interesting, and quite frankly, in my opinion, terrifying about the study, was that there seems to be no difference between those who had been hospitalized with COVID or those who had mild symptoms. All had substantial reduction of gray matter. Crazy.
Even did vaccines play anything? Did the severity of the infection?
I didn't see any. I didn't see any of the determining factors being vaccines. What was really interesting is, as this bore out, they, you know, saw this finding, they wanted to pursue it a little bit more. And they actually, in this experiment, did cognitive tests on people who had caught COVID and people who hadn't. They were in the brain scan groups. And the people who had contracted COVID performed worse on average than people who had not, all other different factors and bias being essentially eliminated for in the study design. Meaning you can show there is actually impaired thinking because of COVID, because of the COVID infection. This is fucking crazy. We've talked about previous studies that have shown the possibility of brain damage, even from mild cases of COVID. The problem being, very few of those had previous brain scans to reference. All we could do is take people who had COVID, look at the brain and say, well, something looks fucked up here, but we didn't know if it was fucked up before or not. This one actually has baseline brain scans from these exact same people, and you can show these people who caught COVID had a bigger deterioration of gray matter over that time than people who did not. This is really, really interesting. Really groundbreaking. And we've talked before on the show, when COVID is long gone, when the virus itself passes, if that does happen, if it doesn't become an annual thing, we will be seeing the medical effects of this for decades to come. We will be seeing early deaths in people who caught COVID. We are already seeing organ damage, even in top-tier NCAA athletes who had COVID, who had mild cases of COVID. And so this will continue on. This is a scary fucking thing, especially if you live in the United States where, like, most of the people caught COVID at some point because we were fucking dumb. If you look at this, this is saying that there are people. And by the way, this is only a year in. What does this look like 2 or 3 years in? You know, how bad does this get exponentially worse as time goes on? I'm going to make a prediction that we have an association with Alzheimer's cases later on, because we know Alzheimer's cases have some traits of what we see in some of these COVID patients, the thinning of gray matter. But also, do you remember, you might be asking, like, what's going on with gray matter? What's going on with the brain? Well, you remember that one of the biggest symptoms of COVID was the inability to taste or smell. That is due to an infection of the olfactory bulb, which is in the brain, by the virus. What we're seeing, the places that we see reduced gray matter are near that. And so what we're seeing is the virus is infecting the brain and causing damage. The fact that you can't smell or taste something means there is brain damage. It happens to be the olfactory bulb, but there's damage. It's just now we're seeing that it's damaging other places in the brain too. And the fact that those people who are walking around with mild cases, you know, a couple of coughs here or there, they are also showing that should be terrifying to anybody who caught COVID, regardless of how it affected them.
You say that, you know, and yeah, these are scary numbers, but if you're like Jeff Dunham or Larry the Cable Guy, you're like, guess what? I'm going to be booking a lot more shows in big cities. It's not all going to be the rural South and the Midwest anymore. Guess what?
That's true.
The big cities want Jeff Dunham telling puppet jokes.
I also feel like every con man is like, everybody's just a little bit dumber. Ha ha.
You know what? Who knows? I've been depressed a lot. Being sad, you're like, oh my God, things suck, man. I would love just to be able to clock out and enjoy a couple of 2 hours of Jeff Dunham telling stupid puppet jokes. Yeah, this is the part of the COVID that nobody accounted for. Yeah, I Bobby, listened to every one of your COVID update episodes over the past year, when you were doing them. So I've known for a while that you have said many times that this is going to be a long-term disease. This is going to lead to long-term health problems. Now, before, you were just saying things about, like, the lungs, kidneys, liver, yeah. You know, those heart, scary organs. Yeah. But now that it's the brain, I'm never leaving my fucking house, man. Now that I know that, like if I'm going to go out one day and come back like a cast member from Idiocracy. No.
Well, we already discussed, Damien, you're probably the least likely person, one of the least likely people on Earth to get it, because you're essentially boosted, de facto vaccine boosted. And so if the numbers from Israel play out, it looks like you have almost zero chance of catching it.
So that's right, everybody. Get a Johnson & Johnson like I did, and then go under pretend to be a homeless guy. So you might have to shit yourself before actually going in, and then not bathe for a few days. And then you can go in and get the Pfizer. I suppose you could just do it and just lie and not actually go through all the character work, but then are you really a thespian?
Yeah, you went through 10 years of that character work before doing it, which I appreciate commitment to a bit.
I tried, it just sounded crazy, and because I smelled and looked homeless, nobody was believing me about this pandemic coming up in 10 years.
Oh dear, super, super interesting, terrifying. And by the way, if you haven't caught COVID yet, use this as your excuse not to catch COVID now. Go get vaccinated. And by the way, quick message to all of our listeners out there, if you haven't done this already, I know a bunch of people are probably already vaccinated for COVID. go get your flu shot. Right now, we're seeing a bunch of comorbid stuff going on with the flu and COVID, where if you catch both of those at the same time, you are fucked, even if you're a young, healthy person. And we don't need more people clogging up the health system right now. So please, please, please run out there, get your flu shot.
I'm picturing if all of America gets COVID, we're going to have to adjust like an Idiocracy. You know, like the New York Philharmonic will just play like Friends in Low Places. Mountain Dew, like the maestro has a beer helmet, but instead it's two things of Mountain Dew.
Oh dear. Thank you, audience, for joining us for Science Faction 580, oldest site in the Americas Day, where you learned all about that oldest site in the Americas and how COVID might give you permanent brain damage. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 581.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Sasquatch, come over here and let me give you some brain.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.